यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी
यमुना तीरावनचारी
जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय राधा रास बिहारी राधा रास बिहारी राधे जय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय गौरनिताय जय गौरनिताय जय सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद नितय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल नितय गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत डिवाइन ग्रेस भय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री श्री राधा रास बिहारी की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय श्री श्री सीता राम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्णा I've been asked to speak on verse 43 from chapter 9 of the 7th canto. This chapter is entitled, Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. Na eva udvije para duratyaya वैतरण्याः त्वत्वीर्य गायन मग्नचित्तः शोचे ततः विमुखचेतसः इन्द्रिय अर्थ माया सुखाय भरम उद्वहतः विमूढान नैवोद्विजे परदुरत्यय वैतरण्यास वद्वीर्यगायन महामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुख चेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय भरमुद्वहतो विमूढान द्विजे परद्रत्यय वैतरण्यास् तद्वीर्यगाय नमहामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय भरमुद्वहतो विमूढान् नैवो द्विजे परद्रत्यय वैतरण्यास् त्वद्वीर्यगाय नमहामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय परमुद्वहतो विमूढान् नैवो द्विजे परदुरत्यय वैतरण्यास् त्वद्वीर्यगाय नमहामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय भरमुद्वहतो विमूढान् वो द्विजे परदुरत्यय वैतरण्यास् त्वद्वीर्यगाय नमहामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय भरमुद्वहतो विमूढान् नैवो द्विजे परदुरत्यय वैतरण्यास् वीर्यगाय नमहामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय भरमुद्वहतो विमूढान् नैवो द्विजे परदुरत्यय वैतरण्यास् त्वद्वीर्यगाय नमहामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय भरमुद्वहतो विमूढान् माताजी नैवो द्विजे परदुरत्यय वैतरण्यास् त्वद्वीर्यगाय नमहामृतमग्नचित्तः शोचे ततो विमुखचेतस इन्द्रियार्थ माया सुखाय भरमुद्वहतो विमूढान् न नॉट एव सर्टेनली Udvije, I am disturbed or afraid. Para, O Supreme, Duratyaya, insurmountable or very difficult to cross. Vaitaranyaha, of the Vaitarani, the river of the material world. Tvat Virya, of your Lordship's glories and activities, Gayana, from chanting or distributing Maha Amrita in the great ocean of nectarian spiritual bliss, Magna Chittaha, whose consciousness is absorbed, Shoche, I am simply lamenting, Chittaha, from that, Vimukha Chetasaha, the fools and rascals who are bereft of Krishna consciousness, Indriya Artha, in sense gratification, Maya Sukhaya, for temporary illusory happiness, Bharam, the false burden or responsibility of maintaining one's family, society and nation, and elaborate arrangements for that purpose, Udvahataha, who are lifting by making grand plans for this arrangement, Vimudhan, although all of them are nothing but fools and rascals, I am thinking of them also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Purport. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as vimudha, fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukhalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakritehi kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti mandite. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 27. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. I beg your pardon. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands of different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion and ignorance. everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature. But at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 14, Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, duratyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the spiritual, of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as Vimudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy. For although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy. Whereas, one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious. Yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Smitabhantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshaparine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Titanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj is pacifying the Lord Narsingadev with prayers. After killing Hiranyakashipu, the Lord's anger had not subsided. And he was sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu and roaring with anger because he had not been able to tolerate his pure devotee Prahlad Maharaj being tortured and harassed by the demon Hiranyakashipu. In that state of anger, the Lord looked so ferocious that even the great demigods like Lord Shiva, Brahma and so on, were afraid to approach Lord Narasimhadev. But Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly walked up to him and began offering prayers. And the Lord was immediately pacified, and he placed his hands, lotus hands, on the head of Prahlad Maharaj to bless him. In the course of the prayers that Prahlad Maharaj chanted, this is one of the important verses. It may seem strange that a five-year-old boy can speak such eloquent poetry and such deep philosophy. But, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purports, in connection with the prayers offered by Dhruva Maharaj to the Lord, when the Lord appeared before him, that such prayers can only happen under the influence of the spiritual energy of the Lord. It is not a material thing. An ordinary mundane poet cannot compose such poetry which is at the same time very philosophical and deep and full of meaning. So how is it that Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, even though only 5 years old, were able to compose such poetry? The answer is that because of their devotion to the Lord, they were empowered by the Lord Himself. And thus they were able to speak like this eloquently. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying here, he is making a couple of points. The first, that this material world is a place that is very fearful. Duratyaya. Duratyaya means very difficult to cross or insurmountable. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many descriptions and analogies given to indicate the fearful nature of this material world. Sometimes the material world is compared to a forest. When somebody is lost inside a forest, it is a very fearful situation. There are dangerous animals, there are snakes, there is no guarantee of food and water, there is bitter cold or heat, there is possibility of forest fire breaking out at any moment, there are thorns on the street, on the ground. It is very difficult. Similarly, this material world is also like that, a very difficult place to be in. Sometimes it is compared to an ocean, sometimes to a river, sometimes to a desert. All these analogies indicate that this material world is a very difficult place to be in. Srila Prabhupada in his purport here is speaking about how Durga Devi or material nature has the plan or is the plan to punish those rebellious souls who are here in the material world and who are not devotees of the Lord. This material world is also compared to a fort, a fortress, which is called Durga. And the superintendent of the fortress is Durga. She is the predominating deity of this material nature. She carries a trishul in her hands. And with the trishul, or the trident, she always impales the conditioned souls with the threefold miseries: adhyatmika klesha, adhibhautika klesha, and adhidaivika klesha. That is not something that Durga Devi takes pleasure in doing, but it is her service to the Supreme Lord, because she is also a great devotee. Just as a prison superintendent is not a cruel person, he is just doing the service to the government by ensuring that those who have been condemned to the life of a prison are kept there securely and are not allowed to escape unless there is authorization from the government. So this is the duty of Durga, and she makes sure, and she does a good job of it, that living entities in this world will be constantly miserable. Birth, death, old age, disease, so long as these things are there, one cannot be happy. At every moment, there is some or the other embarrassment or anxiety which afflicts the conditioned soul. Sometimes there is some natural disturbance, like an earthquake or a volcano. Sometimes there is a theft. Sometimes there is disease. Sometimes there are so many unforeseen difficulties that come in the way. Constantly one is subjected to fear. So this material world is a place of fear. By its very nature, Durga Devi has made this place like this. But Prahlad Maharaj says here, Na eva udvije paraduratyaya vaitaranyas. He says, I am not certainly afraid. Udvija. Udvija means to be disturbed or afraid. Na eva udvije para, O Supreme Lord, I am not afraid of this material existence which is duratyaya, which is practically very difficult to cross. Vaitarani River, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, is the river that divides the spiritual world and the material world. In other words, to cross over this material world and reach the spiritual world, one has to cross the Vaitarani River. So that is extremely difficult to cross. Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. As Prabhupada says here, the word duratyaya, which appears in the Bhagavad Gita shloka that you just quoted, also appears in this verse. Very, very difficult to cross. So why is Prahlad Maharaj so fearless, even though he is living in a world that is very fearful? Mayam etam parantite, mam eva ye prapadyante. So those who take shelter of Krishna can easily cross over this material ocean which is otherwise very insurmountable. So this is the important point that he is making. And then he says, Tvad vira gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. O Lord, just by singing gayana, Tvad virya, about your glories, which is like great nectar of spiritual bliss, mahamrita. Magna chittaha, because my consciousness is absorbed in that. So I'm constantly experiencing spiritual bliss. Since I'm constantly glorifying you, I'm chanting about you, I'm glorifying your name, your pastimes, your activities, and so on. So this is a very important lesson that Prahlad Maharaj is giving for all of us. That if we want to be vaccinated or inoculated from the fear that strikes everyone in this world, then we must also engage ourselves as much as possible in hearing and chanting about the Lord. This process of hearing and chanting will give us so much happiness that it will overwhelm the fear and the anxiety that will naturally arise for one who lives within this world. This is the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it is impossible to counteract the fearful situations in the world. Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport that materialistic people foolishly try to adjust things so that they can convert this dukkhalayam into sukhalayam, but it is not possible. It is simply a futile endeavor. But Srila Prahlad Maharaj has got the right formula. Vad virya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. For one whose consciousness is not absorbed in Krishna, he or she is bound to be covered by anxiety. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is declared, Bhayam dhitya bhinaveshatasya dishatapetasya vipajyayosmitihi tanmayayato abhajetam. The question of worshipping the Supreme Lord comes up for one who has not turned his back to the Supreme Lord. And for one who has turned his back to the Supreme Lord, there is fear. Bhayam, fear. Fear arises because there is abhivineshataha, there is absorption in something other, dvitiya, than the Lord. And for one who is upetasya, who has turned his back to the Lord, vimukha chetasa, as Prahlad says here, viparyayaha, he begins to misidentify himself with the material body. And therefore, asmritihi, he reaches a state of forgetfulness of his identity as eternal servant of Krishna, and he starts thinking of himself as the material body. And because of that, there is fear. Tanmayayataha. So this is because of maya. Buddha abhajetam. So a very intelligent person, Buddha means intelligent one, worships Lord Hari, or Lord Krishna. And in this way, bhakti kresham guru devatatma, with one pointed attention he worships Lord Krishna and is able to overcome this situation of fear and anxiety that plagues this material world. The second point that Srila Prahlad Maharaj makes here is that even though he is blissful for himself, he is simultaneously unhappy as well. Shoche, I am lamenting. Normally people lament for themselves, but Prahlad Maharaj's lamentation is not like that. His lamentation is for those who have turned their backs to Krishna. Vimukha chetasa. So for those people who are forgetful of Krishna like this, indriyartha, for the sake of sense gratification, maya sukhaya, they want this fleeting, temporary happiness of this world. And because of the search for such illusory happiness, bharam udvahato, they are lifting imaginary burdens, taking on so many false responsibilities, as Prabhupada explains here in the purport, and therefore they are foolish. So Prahlad Maharaj's lamentation is because of compassion. That compassion is there because of the love and the happiness that he feels in serving Krishna. So Prahlad Maharaj is a preacher. He has been preaching to his friends in the school, and now he is feeling that same preaching spirit arising in relation to all the living entities of this world who are suffering in want of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, here are two issues. One is the issue of our personal Krishna consciousness, Svadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittaha. And the second is the one of preaching. Preaching comes because of compassion. But if we are not ourselves nourishing our consciousness with pure Krishna consciousness, how will we be able to preach? How will we get the feeling of compassion or love for the living entities in order to preach? So for our movement, which is a preaching movement, it is very important that we do both these things together. There are some who are called bhajanānandis. They like to relish Krishna consciousness on their own, in isolation. So even though they are benefited, but they are not able to reach out to the fallen souls of this world. But our acharyas have taught us the spirit of goshthanandi. that we reach out to the others to deliver the message of Lord Krishna to everyone. But in so doing, we have to be spiritually empowered. We have to be ourselves feeling a certain happiness within in order to be able to preach. So if someone wants to preach and only preach, or do service and only service, then he or she will not be able to sustain. He will not be able to continue for a long time unless that devotee is also nourishing his or her soul with hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. On the other hand, if somebody simply wants to just chant and read and hear and doesn't want to do service, doesn't want to preach, then that is also not good. What is the use of Shravanam if there is no Kirtanam? The Shravanam cannot be digested unless there is Kirtanam. So preaching is a digestive tonic for all that we are hearing and chanting. So for a devotee, there must be balance. We must hear and chant sufficiently, nourish our soul sufficiently with the nectar of Krishna Katha and Krishna Nam. At the same time, we must also have the sacrificing spirit to offer our lives and time and energy for serving the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, doing the various services that we are responsible for, and also to preach to the conditioned souls. Then definitely Durga Devi will be pleased upon us. When Durga Devi sees that we are actually serving Krishna, she will become very pleased. We have all heard the story, the name of Chandidas. Chandidas was a great Vaishnava poet. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his later pastimes in Jagannath Puri, he would constantly hear many verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam and also from great poets like Vidyapati, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, Jayadev Goswami, and also Chandidas. So Chandidas is an authorized Vaishnava poet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally approved him. But this Chandidas was formerly, as his name indicates, Chandidas. Chandi means Kali, or Durga. He was earlier a worshipper of Durga. And he was, by Durga's benedictions, very wealthy. But he did not like Vaishnavism. His brother, on the other hand, was a very simple poor man, but he was a devotee of Krishna. So what happened is, one time there were some nice flowers in the garden of Chandidas. And Chandidas's neighbor, his brother, he happened to see, he had a small little house and he was worshipping Krishna in a very simple way but with great devotion. And he once came outside his house and he saw the nice garden of Chandidas. And he began to think, oh, what if I also had nice flowers like these to offer to Krishna? I cannot offer these flowers because my brother is rather miserly. He will not give me anything. But I can at least offer it in my mind. So in his mind, he offered the flowers that were in Chandidas's garden to Krishna, mentally. And that night, when Chandidas was sleeping, Goddess Chandi, or Durga, appeared to him in a dream. And she said, I am very pleased with you. So Chandidas was surprised, why are you suddenly pleased with me? I have not done anything extraordinary or something special. Why are you pleased with me? So she said, because the flowers in your garden were offered to my Lord Krishna. Therefore, I am very pleased. Oh, so your Lord is Krishna? Yes. So I should also worship Krishna? Certainly. Then why did you not tell me earlier? Chandidas told Chandi. So she said, well, you did not ask me. So I did not tell you. You only wanted material benedictions, so I gave you. But now that the flowers in your garden have been offered to Krishna, then your garden and your life is now perfect. So from that time, Chandidas actually became Krishnadas. Even though his name remained Chandidas, but he became a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So we can see that if we serve Krishna nicely, then Durga Devi is actually very pleased. And she will not hit us with the trident anymore. Because now she knows, yes, this is my Lord's devotee. So Durga Devi actually becomes very, very happy. So this is the lesson for all of us. So with this we will end the class here. If there are any questions, we will be happy to try to answer. Hare Krishna. Yes. Mike.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, you have mentioned that only when a devotee is basically kind of like overflowed with Krishna consciousness, fully satisfied, then in that state he is able to give Krishna consciousness to other. He is completely.
Correct. Yes.
So in that case, that those devotees who are on the Bhajananandi level, you said they're also satisfied. But then what kind of satisfaction is this if they don't want to share their Krishna consciousness?
The question is, what kind of satisfaction is it for the Bhajananandis? They are simply relishing Tvad Virya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittaha. They are simply relishing the taste of glorifying Krishna's pastimes, his holy names and so on. So they are relishing that taste. But they are not able to relish the taste of distributing that to the world at large and uplifting the conditioned souls. That satisfaction only the preachers have, those who are in a preaching mission. But the Bhajananandis are to themselves just relishing their own private Krishna consciousness. All right? Any other question? Yes, can you have the mic please, there.
Haribol Maharaj, you just mentioned that in the end, that Maya Devi, when she realizes that a devotee is worshipping or a person is worshipping Krishna, she does not use her trident to attack him or just to be against him. But we see that once someone starts becoming a devotee, sometimes we start getting more difficulties. So are these difficulties directed by one's own karma, by the material energy, or is it just Krishna who is trying to purify?
Srila Prabhupada explained that our karmas are like a rotating fan. And when we take to Krishna consciousness, then we switch off the fan. But when we switch off the fan, it takes some time for the fan to come to a complete stop. The fan will still rotate for some time. So similarly, our karmic reactions will continue for some time to come, even when we take to Krishna consciousness. At the same time, even though in the early stages or initial stages the karmic reactions will come, because we have surrendered to Krishna, so Krishna will now directly interfere with the delivery of the karmic reactions. He may make it very concentrated, compressed, he may reduce some things, he can manipulate in so many ways. Prabhupada gave an example one time, if that somebody was to have a very major disaster, because he has become a devotee, he may get away with just a little something, a small problem. So we can understand that if after coming to Krishna consciousness the difficulties are increasing, then it is Krishna's mercy, because Krishna wants to finish off all our past karma very quickly. What would otherwise have taken a long time for us to finish those sinful reactions are happening now in a very short period of time. So this is actually Krishna's mercy. So we can see it as a combination of karma and Krishna's mercy. But when it comes to pure devotees like Prahlad, the Pandavas and so on, the apparent miseries that they underwent are not to be considered anything to do with karma. It is entirely Krishna. Because Krishna, through their example, wants to teach us many things. All right?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
It is said if we chant one time also Hare Krishna mantra, it is enough. And it is said even if we chant for millions of lifetime also, that is not. So can you tell something about this?
Yes, it is said that one name of Krishna is enough to destroy all sins that you have committed and further all sins that you could possibly commit in the future. But we are talking of pure name, Shuddha Naam. Shuddha Naam can come when the heart is Shuddha or pure with love for Krishna. Then that one pure name is enough. But because the holy name that ordinary devotees chant is not Shuddha Naam, it is Aparadh Yukta Naam, it is a holy name that is chanted with some offenses, so therefore it takes time. But the process is to keep chanting. We have to try to be attentive and devoted when we chant. But if we are chanting mechanically, then it will take many, many lifetimes for us to come to that point. Slowly, it is a very gradual stage of development. Okay? Oh, your question is that even after chanting for many lifetimes, that is talking about basically when you chant in the wrong spirit, offensively with the idea that this is some kind of karma kanda, or with the idea that this is some ritualistic thing, very mechanically chanting, without proper understanding of Krishna consciousness, without the proper mood. Mechanically we may just go on chanting, there will be benefit, but Krishna prema will be hard to get like that. So Srila Prabhupada explains that we have to chant the holy names just like a child cries for the mother. That is the way in which we should chant the holy name. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, in the last story which you told of Chandi Das, in that the flowers were offered by his brother, na? So why he has to get benefit?
So the question is that the flowers were offered by Chandidas's brother, so why Chandidas got the benefit? Because they were Chandidas's flowers. They were his property. So his property was offered to Krishna. Yes, he did not know, but still he got the benefit. Because his property was offered. Just like your body may be sometimes engaged in Krishna's service by somebody and you may not even know that you are engaging your body in Krishna's service. Someone gives you prasadam, but you don't know it is prasadam. So you taste that, you think it is nice food, that's all. So you are engaging your tongue. Your tongue is also your property, it is your body. You are engaging it in Krishna's service, serving his prasadam. But you get benefit, even though you don't know. So that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness.
What should be the purity level for offering in mind?
What should be the purity level? As pure as you can. The more pure it is, the better it is. Yes, last question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It is said that one should preach by example.
Yes.
Suppose a devotee is not totally free from all the material desires. So can he effectively preach Krishna consciousness is my question.
Yes. We can preach to the extent of our realization. we can preach without duplicity. And at the same time, simultaneously, we have to also try to practice. For preaching, one does not need to be on the level of Krishna Prem only. Even an ordinary devotee can certainly preach, because preaching itself is a purification process. We preach not just for the sake of others, but we also preach for ourselves. Because when we preach, we are engaging in service. And therefore, we are actually doing devotional service and purifying ourselves. So it is necessary for our own purification to do that. At the same time, the point is also valid that if we are not practicing properly, then how can we preach? There is one saying, one saint has said, you must preach all day long, and when necessary, speak. Please reflect on this one sentence. You must preach all day long, and when necessary, speak. What does it mean? That means you must preach by your actions. And when the necessity arises to speak something to preach, then you may do it. But the main preaching is through the action, through the behavior. That is the main preaching. How we live, how we live in this world, basically. That is an important thing for a devotee. So once our thoughts are purified, which are, by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, then from vichar will come achar, the behavior. When the achar is also good, because of good vichar, then prachar will come, or preaching. So by hearing and chanting there is good thoughts, by good thoughts there is good behavior, by good behavior there is good preaching. This is an ideal situation. But nevertheless, we should still try to do as much as we can in the service of Srila Prabhupada, because he has instructed us, and then we will get purified. Okay?
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Prasad.